Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here, as always, with my good friend, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
Taking in the summer feels now that it's finally here. And it's hot. It's been very, very hot because it's summer.
You can't see it, listeners, but right now Kev is very tropical. I think he's probably still on a kick from yesterday being at the water park.
Yes.
But Kev has got a floral Hawaiian shirt that looks pretty good. And he's got a sun hat on the back of his neck. And he's trying real hard. He's trying real hard to put it on, make sure the hat fit with the headphones, but it was not working.
It was not working.
I'll make sure that obviously we send pictures out on our posts. And so you'll be able to see it. But I am wearing, this is the first jersey that I bought of a rival of the Phillies. Mm. I tried to avoid it as long as I could, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity because I found this on Facebook Marketplace for $25.
Are the Marlins really a rival?
Yes. I hate the Marlins. I mean, they've been bad for a while, but when they were good for that short period of time, they were really annoying with Juan Pierre, Luis Castillo, Miggy, Hanley Ramirez, all those guys.
What, like 20 years ago?
Yeah, but they're still a rival. I mean, the Giants suck for the Eagles. They're still a rival. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Giants beat the Eagles on a normal. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I'm wearing a Miami Marlins Jose Hernandez jersey.
Fernandez.
Wow. We're gonna cut that.
Nope, I'm not going back.
No, that's Jose Fernandez, who tragically passed away and ended his career short due to a boating accident. But during his couple years in the league, he was absolutely fantastic. And I saw his jersey on Facebook Marketplace, and I was like, yes, I want that. And it seems like my hobby now is just collecting jerseys. So, but this is my first rival one, Jose Fernandez. Not Hernandez, Jose Fernandez.
Yes.
I miss him. He was fun to watch. He was really good.
Mm-hmm. I would say that his passing really changed that franchise. Not just in, you know, it being tragic, of course, but also just in the dynamics of that team, because they had a couple of guys that were coming up that were, you know, it was like almost the new young Marlins.
Yeah.
And when he died, they all kind of just went away.
Yeah.
I mean, all the excitement and the hype for it just, you know, like that.
I mean, they traded away Stanton, traded away Yelich, traded away Ozuna, Justin Bour, D. Gordon. I'm trying to remember any of the other, like, star players with it. But, you know, all those guys, I mean, Yelich won an MVP with Milwaukee. You know, Stanton's been good with the Yankees. Ozuna's been good with the Braves. You know, it's kind of sad. I don't think the Marlins will ever be successful because they just consistently keep, I mean, they don't really try that hard.
No.
They really don't. You know, they fired, I've got really bitter when they fired Kim Ng, who Shoemaker.
Schumacher.
What's his first name?
Skip.
I've got that confused because his job was also his name, Skip. When he won Manager of the Year, then the next year, they had a little bit of struggles with some injuries, and then they fired him because they got a new GM, because they fired Kim Ng, and they wanted a new GM, and they got from Tampa, and they're like, oh, yeah, Skip, you're done. I'm like, he was Manager of the Year the previous year, made the playoffs with a team that shouldn't have been there.
Yes.
And then they let him go. I was like, wow, this organization's terrible, terrible, terrible. But we are past the halfway point of the major league season. And, you know, seems like we just do it once a month now with our podcasts.
Yeah.
We try everyone. It's really, it just seems to be difficult. Yeah. And I say it every time, but our schedules just seem to really not match up with it. But we've had a lot happen in the last month since we had Taylor on. And one I want to bring up right away, and that is the Rafael Devers trade. Because that was my hot take at the very end of the last episode saying, yeah, he's probably going to get traded. Well, everyone didn't think that was a hot take. I thought it was a really, really cold take. But and they were right, because he got traded, what, 2 days later or 3 days later after we posted the podcast?
It was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. And it seems like Boston really didn't get a lot back for Devers with it. It's kind of a weird situation with the Devers, with how he kind of handled his time in Boston, and then now how he's kind of, I mean, it's a new scenery. He kind of wants a fresh start, but he's kind of been completely the opposite of how he was in Boston after signing that $300 million deal. Just doesn't seem right. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth and stories that I've heard with it, but it sounds like I know that the trade talks happens like 3 or 4 weeks, started 3 or 4 weeks before he actually got traded with the Giants.
Yeah. Well, I guess the reason why it was a hot take for you, or in my opinion, it was a hot take for you, is because he signed a huge, huge contract only 2 years ago.
Yeah.
A 10-year, $313 million deal. It was looking like he was going to become the franchise player, and now 2.5 years later, he's gone.
Yeah.
So what happened? I mean, he's a third baseman. There was some dissatisfaction that was, you know, he felt lied and betrayed to by the Red Sox organization, and it culminated with the Bregman signing and him not even playing the field.
Yeah.
He was DHing, and when you sign someone to a $313 million deal to be a third baseman and now he's just DHing, there's that discontentment there. And it, with all their stars coming up too, I guess the Red Sox felt comfortable. It's like, hey, we got a really strong farm system. Maybe it's best to, you know, move on from the mess, because it was a distraction for them.
They did clear a lot of payroll. The Giants are taking on all the money.
Yes.
That's a huge thing for Boston. Mm-hmm. I think the only other time that we've seen a big trade in terms of total money was Stanton when he went to the Yankees, because he had signed that deal with the Marlins where it was $300 million, and then he went to the Yankees. But that was that wasn't as like crazy shocking as the Devers one, it feels like. Because Stanton, while he was the centerpiece, Marlins sucked. The Red Sox are a different type of organization with it.
And for the Yankees, it was a steal. They pretty much got Stanton for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's both of these trades have benefited the Yankees dramatically.
Oh, Devers killed the Yankees when they played them.
Specifically Gerrit Cole, who is probably the happiest man in the entire world about the Devers trade. There's one other thing I wanted to mention about that trade. They're 4-10 since the trade. San Francisco is. Mm-hmm. So hasn't been a great start for them. With Devers, but
how's he doing right now with
that? That I'm not 100% sure. I know his first at bat, I believe he struck out, but he also had a double or triple into Triple's corner. I'll be there on Tuesday to watch the Phillies in San Francisco.
I wonder if it's going to be similar to the Adames situation, where it's like now he's moving to a pitcher stadium.
Yeah,
and that's going to mess with his numbers a bit.
It might. It probably should a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. I looked at the weather for the San Francisco game.
Yeah.
This could be a high of 64. I was like, oh, I probably should bring some pants and not shorts.
It doesn't get very hot there.
No. I mean, and it's going to be on the bay. I'm like, I probably should have a sweatshirt. I was not expecting to be wearing a sweatshirt and pants in July going to a baseball game, but I probably am. And then I'll be in San Diego, and that'll be I think it was like 75 or something like that on game night. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Nice. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about quick about the Yankees struggles recently. Just give me a quick summary of what's going on.
It's become a good old Yankees tradition, but not in the way that they want it to be a good tradition. It's called the June swoon. And it's pretty much, you know, they start the last couple of years very hot. They hit June and they really struggle. So coming into June 1st, they were 5.5 games up of Toronto.
Yeah.
And now as of this recording, July 3rd, they're tied to Toronto and they're playing Toronto tonight to avoid getting swept by the Blue Jays. And if the Blue Jays win tonight, they'll take sole possession of first place, which Who saw that coming? Who saw the Blue Jays taking the division lead, perhaps?
No.
I mean, it's not a guarantee, but the way that both teams are playing right now,
yeah,
there's a pretty good shot of that happening. It's a lot of the same stuff that we've seen the last couple of years. The offense has, they've tanked. In a five-game span, they've had like a 462 OPS. You're not gonna win games like that.
If you don't know what OPS is and you're listening to this podcast,
yeah,
a average OPS is probably like 700, 720.
Yeah.
And the good ones are around 1,000 above 800, 850, and then all-star level MVP is like around 900 to 1,000. Yeah. They're doing 450. That is minor league level.
Yeah. And the last time they did that was in 1990, which was like the black hole of Yankees baseball when they were losing 90 games. So that gives you an idea how bad they're playing.
Oh man, 90 games. No, like the one time in Yankees history. Gosh.
Those late 80s, early 90s teams were pretty bad.
Man, oh, man, such a shame. Such a shame.
They're like 1-6 or 1-7 in extra innings games. You can't count on this team to close games out. And then there's Volpe, which I was talking about this with you last night. The patience with him has to come to an end.
Yeah.
This is his third year. He's not grown any. He's struggling both at the plate and in the field, just really making some really horrible decisions.
Well, so, how old is he? He hasn't grown. I thought he should have reached peak height, probably.
So an example of his like boneheadedness in the field was like when Freed pitched the other night, which has been like the one Yankees constant that's been pretty good.
Judge.
Well, Judge did slump pretty hard for a couple of weeks.
I mean, he was having one of the best seasons of all time. I think I'm allowed to give him a little bit of a slump.
Yeah, against the Red Sox, he struck out 9 times. That's a slump.
Yeah.
That's a slump.
Yeah.
But like there was 2 outs and Volpe like just commits an error and they give up 4 or 5 runs in that inning.
Yeah.
Because of the error. They could have been out of the inning if it wasn't for that. So that's just one of the examples. The most frustrating thing to me is they're in such a poor league. The American League sucks.
It's terrible.
It sucks. Other than Detroit, really, and you know, Houston, they're the opposite of the Yankees in June. They just catch on fire in the month of June. Other than those two, they shouldn't have anyone to worry about. And they're just giving it away, which is the frustrating thing for me. But on the other hand, the Phillies are doing pretty well.
Yeah, they're doing all right. You know, they're in the first place. You know, Harper's injured, but he's playing through it. We're going to get Alvarado back in mid-August. We definitely need to make a bullpen move. And I also want to get a bat. I was talking with some people. I would trade Justin Crawford and a couple pitching prospects to go get Byron Buxton and Jarren Duran from Minnesota. I don't care that Buxton has an injury history, but our center field, we need a right-handed bat that fits the bill right there with Buxton. Buxton's a great defender as well. He's only making $15 million the next couple years. I'll take that. Win now. For the next 3 years, we're win now. And then Duran's under contract for the next couple years, I believe. And there solidifies your bullpen piece. Probably need another one. But you go trade Justin Crawford, who is a top prospect and a lot of people want him to be up now. But I don't think he's ready to be up here now and make the change and be the cat, like help the cat, not catalyst, but give some jolt to this team. I want to make a trade. I want to make a big splash. That's what happens with good teams. They may go make a big splash at the trade deadline, and they go for it. We haven't made a huge splash at the deadline in the 3 years that we've been in the playoffs, 2022, 23, and 24. I can't remember who we got. We got Estevez and Tanner Banks last year. That's not necessarily great. I mean, Estevez was good, but it wasn't like a Manny Ramirez type trade. Like, I want to go get 2-3 guys that are going to be all-star caliber players and change and basically make other teams fear us. Like, ah, crap, they got a lot better. That's what I want. Do I see it happening? No, but I really hope it does. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. You know, we're going to the game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I got to buy the tickets. Haven't bought them yet because that was bad service at the job. But going to see him in San Francisco and San Diego. So I'm going to see him live a couple times and see how they look. I haven't been to a game this year. This will be the first time I'm going to a game. The halfway season. All right. A couple more things. I want to talk about also congratulations to Clayton Kershaw making he had on his last at bat, I think it was his last batter, got to 3,000 strikeouts. Legend, one of the best pitchers of all time. Mm-hmm. I think he still has the record for best ERA of all time with the amount of innings he's pitched. He's top three for sure. I know a couple years ago he was number one, but probably top five pitcher of our lifetime, probably, if not number one, with just when he was peak Kershaw, it was must-watch TV, must-watch. I mean, he's 21-3 with like a 1.7 ERA. If I nailed that, did I nail that? Are you on Baseball Reference?
In 2014?
I think he was 21-3 with like a 1.88 ERA or 1.7.
Well, in 2013, he was 16-9 with a 1.83.
Okay.
But in 2014, his MVP year, when he won the Cy Young, it was 21-3 with a 1.77 ERA.
That's exactly... How do I know... There's so many things in life that I should know, but I know Clayton Kershaw was 21-3 with a 1.77.
Yeah.
We got to play that back. I think I said 1.77 first, right?
I think you did, yeah.
Gosh. Well, the fact that I know that. Anyway, two more things. I want to get to... Apparently, baseballs are dead this year. They apparently, since they've been tracking baseballs and like the drag of them, this is the most drag a baseball has had in the 9 years they've been keeping track of that data. And Andrew McCutchen was the first one to bring it to attention because he talked with an MLB rep and informed that the seams are actually higher this year, which I don't understand. They have the same manufacturer. They said they have the same manufacturing, same storage, same handling. How can you have a different product? I don't get it. Is the leather a little bit different? They said the seams are. Is it a different yarn? Like what? Or like what is this? I don't get it. But obviously, there's been an increase in drag, which means less home runs, less balls carried, and it's just. There's always those conspiracy theories that the players that have big free agent years, sometimes they will juice the balls and sometimes they'll deaden the balls based off of free agents so that way people get more money. There's that conspiracy theory. But obviously, the balls are not going as far.
Well, it's not much of a conspiracy theory because MLB admitted to it.
Oh, yeah.
They admitted to the baseballs being different this year.
Well, no, I'm not saying them admitting that they're different, but changing them to based off of free agents. Like the money, so that way certain players get a certain amount of money. That's what I've heard conspiracies about.
Yeah.
Okay, one last thing, and this one is something that happened 2 days ago. No, was it yesterday? It was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All-star voting. The finalists were voted on, and we have our NL and AL starters. I want to ban fan voting for the rest of eternity. It is an absolute travesty and a joke that fans get to vote for the starters. I know that a lot of the guys that aren't starters will eventually get into the All-Star game, but the fact that if there was a possibility that every starter for the NL was going to be a Dodger, that just is dumb. I don't like the fact that that could happen. Ronald Acuna Jr., who is having a great season, has only played in 36 games this year.
Yeah.
And he's a starting outfielder for the NL. He's having a great year. He's batting .346 and has 9 homers and 18 RBIs. Fantastic start. He should not be starting for the NL. I'm sorry. It's just, he can't be starting. He has not earned it. James Wood, he has earned that spot. He should be there. He's in his second year. He's batting .283 with 22 homers and 65 RBIs and a 4 WAR before the All-Star break. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
He should be in there. He probably will be an All-Star, but the fact that he's not starting over Ronald Acuna Jr., people are freaking idiots. It's a joke. Also, Ellie De La Cruz got snubbed over Francisco Lindor. Lindor, this was probably the one that got the most attention, probably because the shortstops, Lindor's got a 787 OPS, and that's not great. He's batting 261. He's got 17 homers as a shortstop. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But Elly De La Cruz is batting 275, better than Lindor, OPS of 842, almost 70 points higher, and has more home runs, and I believe has more RBIs. Yeah. Yep, more RBIs.
Yeah.
And he's not starting.
Yeah.
That should be the best players representing the best lineup to start the game. It's just, it baffles me. I think the last one was Freddie Freeman and Pete Alonso. Freddie Freeman, he's having a good season, batting 309, but he's only got 10 homers and 44 RBIs, where Pete Alonso, and again, I hate Alonso, but this dude deserves to be starting the game, especially in a contract, another contract year. He's batting 287. He's got 18 homers and 66 RBIs.
Yeah.
Way better than Freeman. Freeman's had a pretty good year hitting, but Alonso should be starting. Alonso will be an all-star, but he should be starting. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, I think it's hilarious, the process, because it's not like you could vote just one time or two times. You can vote up to five times in a 24-hour period and keep voting as much as you want. So you're really stuffing the ballot box for your favorite players every time.
It's a popularity contest. You know, it was mostly Dodgers, Cubs, Mets, and then Acuna. Yeah. But it's just frustrating. I'm starting to get to the point where I don't think that fans should vote at all, and that not every team needs to be represented. I'm starting to get to that point because I think that while it's cool that every team is represented, that's a pretty cool thing. It should be the best of the best there. I don't need, like, who was it the other, I think it was 2 years ago, Michael Lorenzen. He had like a 4-something ERA for Detroit, but he was their only representative.
Yeah.
It should be the best players there. It affects these guys' contracts, Hall of Fame eligibility, awards, accolades, all that. And it cannot be left up to the fans.
Yeah.
It cannot. I don't. It should be left up to, I think it should be the managers for each league. Actually, I don't know. I just don't think it should be the fans. I don't know who should be voting. It could be the players, but then also that they could be doing it for their contracts too. There's always going to be some bias, but the fans have the worst, in my opinion. I don't want fans voting anymore. And I'm okay with me not voting. I voted once. I voted one time.
I voted one time too.
Yeah. I don't even know. I think a couple of my guys made it, but I think most of them didn't. Anyway, that's my rant. I'm tired of fan voting. Let me know what you think. I hope you agree with me. If you voted and you're happy with the results of these guys getting in and you're happy that Ronald Acuna Jr. is starting over James Wood, let me know. We can duke it out on podcast.
Indeed.
All right. Moving on from general talk. We got a lot in there. That was good. I got a fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact time. Fun fact section. Okay. So this is actually something that I sent to you last night. It was making its way on Instagram. Back in, do you know Pedro Martinez by chance? You know who he is?
No.
Okay. Hall of Fame pitcher. Used to pitch for.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Pitched for the Red Sox.
Who?
Pedro Martinez.
Oh. No.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
Really good pitcher.
Yeah.
Eventually, Phillies legend.
Yeah.
Pedro Martinez. It was actually an interesting thing that happened back 20 years ago. Is it 20 years ago? 30 years ago. On June 3rd, 1995, Pedro Martinez pitched a perfect game through 9 innings.
He did, yeah.
Against the Montreal Expos.
He was pitching for the Expos, I think.
I'm sorry. Yeah. For the Montreal Expos. Sorry, I misread that. Against the San Diego Padres. But the game was tied 0-0 going into the ninth, going into extra innings. Mm-hmm. So Pedro Martinez pitched 9 perfect innings. So he technically pitched a perfect game, quote unquote, of what the normal perfect game standards are. In the top of the 10th, the Expos scored a run, giving Martinez a 1-0 lead. However, in the bottom of the 10th, he went out and Bip Roberts hit a leadoff double, ending Martinez's chance of the perfect game. The Expos did win, but Martinez was removed and did not get a perfect game.
Yeah.
What was interesting about this, fun fact, is while he had 9 innings of perfect baseball, can you imagine if that happened into, I think they mentioned this when the clip that I sent you, can you imagine if they this happened today and with today's rules where you pitch a perfect game and then the ghost runner's on second base to start the 10th inning and you get 3 outs? Say if you say if it's 0-0 going into the 10th and Pedro Martinez has a perfect game, but there's a runner on second in the bottom of the 10th. Bunt over to third, sack, and then a sack fly. Or I can't remember exactly how it was do this. But basically, he could technically lose the game and still pitch a perfect game in terms of pitching, but that run scores, so it's not technically a perfect game because it's an unearned run.
Yeah.
But he pitched a perfect game. That would absolutely lose people's... It would break people.
Yeah.
It would break people. And that's why the Ghost Runner should not start until like the 12th or 13th inning.
Yeah.
Give the guys a couple more chances. Obviously, this is a rarity, but Pedro Martinez, Hall of Famer. I can't believe you don't know who he is. When I knew about this, but I thought it'd be fun to share just the analogy of, yeah, there's a chance that someone could pitch a perfect game of 10 innings and lose.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing to me is this is not the first time that someone has pitched 9 perfect innings and had to go even further than that. So yeah. In the 50s, there was a pitcher, Harvey Haddix.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched 12 perfect innings of baseball. But the problem was is that he was facing against a Hall of Famer, I think Warren Spahn, he was pitching against.
Yeah.
And he lost it in the 13th inning.
Gosh.
Can you imagine going 12 innings of perfect baseball to lose?
You got your offense. You're like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Give me one run. One run.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's a fun fact. I don't know anyone that wouldn't be upset. It would really break the internet with it. This is the sports world. Baseball doesn't break the internet. But okay. So fun fact. Done. We got something fun for you lined up. Something that probably everyone can relate to with this. You know, sometimes in our junk ball section, we kind of get into sometimes more analytical stuff or topical stuff. This is more of general, pop culture type of podcast. And I might be biased, but I think baseball movies are the best sports movies. And I think that a lot of people would agree. I think in terms of quality and the vast majority of them that are actually pretty good, I would say baseball movies are better than football, basketball, all those other types of movies. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, I think because baseball movies, they're like classics because baseball is so ingrained into the American culture, unlike the other sports. I mean, you still have like the football movies, the ones we watched in high school, like Remember the Titans and those. The baseball.
I've never seen it.
Really?
No, I'm joking.
Okay. Well, there is one baseball movie that I haven't seen, which we'll get to if it's on your list.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. We were going to give a list. So here we haven't even said what we're going to do. Kevin and I are going to list our top five favorite baseball movies. Not the best movies in terms of like critically acclaimed, our top five favorite each. But we were going to do a section where we admit to baseball movies we haven't watched. Because I think there's one that I haven't watched that some people would be a little bit surprised that I haven't watched. But I don't think we're going to do that. That's our Platinum Premium Plus package. That's the extra content. Or just DM me and I'll tell you.
Yeah, we have a deal going because it's the 4th of July coming up.
So we 88 have cents off!
$4.99 per month, which is a 17.76 discount off our normal rates.
$5.88 original price. Shipping and handling not included, even though it's digital. Yes. So Do you want to go first, or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Are you going 5-2-4? 5-4-3-2-1?
I am.
Okay, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be an interesting take on how our lists compare, because we're probably going to have different tastes in movies, like just how we like what we watch,
yeah,
and what we grew up watching.
Probably.
So I grew up watching a lot of baseball movies that were either older or like were like, you know, historically based.
Yeah.
So that's what a majority of my list is going to be.
Yeah. I already know one of them is I already know one of the movies that's on the list. I could probably guess all of them on your list, probably. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I'll write them down. Give me one second. Let me guess number five.
Okay. So number five is 61, which is the movie. You haven't seen it.
No.
It's based on, if you haven't heard of it, it's based on Roger Maris breaking Babe Ruth's single season home run record in 1961. And he was teammates with Mickey Mantle.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just about the baseball race. It was about all the crap he had to put up with.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to, like, being compared to Babe Ruth all the time, losing his hair, you know, getting sick over it. Especially when Mickey Mantle fell out of the race, because they were, like, going back and forth as teammates, like, trying to break the record. Then Mantle got hurt, and Maris had to really take on everything himself. The media hounded him. It wasn't like today where people are like excited about a record being broken,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, you know, someone's approaching Barry Bonds or something. Like there's like excitement about it. Like remember in 98 with McGuire and Sosa, it's like, who's going to break Maris's record? Who's going to reach 70 if that happens?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, because Babe Ruth was such a god to everyone that they thought that no one should break his record. It got to the point where the commissioner of baseball was going to put an asterisk next to the record, which is where the title 61 with the asterisk next to it comes in.
Hmm.
So I think it's a really good insight into what he was dealing with personally. And it's a feel good story at the end, because he overcomes all that stuff to break the record, and a record that was held in the American League until a couple of years ago with Judge.
Yeah.
And, you know, 98 with McGuire and Sosa. If you count that, I count it. It's a baseball record, but
yeah,
it holds a special place for me. The guy who plays Roger Maris is the sniper from Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, Pepper?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his first name? I know his last name is Pepper.
It's Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Saving Private Ryan. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that in a while. Okay. Yeah. No, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that there's going to be Yankees movies on your list. Okay. Number five for me, this movie came out in, I think, 2013. Yes, 2013. The main actor actually passed away, Chadwick Boseman, a couple years ago. But his movie 42, which is the biographical sports drama of Jackie Robinson coming into the major leagues and breaking the color barrier. And I thought it was a fantastic movie. I remember watching it in theaters. I was like, dang, this is way better. Like, it's a baseball movie. I was like, all right, I hope they get it right. I hope they do respect to Jackie, and just making sure that it's a tough subject, obviously, with racism.
Yes.
But it was a fantastic, fantastic movie. Obviously, you know, it follows Branch Rickey taking a chance and trying to recruit Jackie Robinson to play Major League Baseball. And you have all the baseball players making fun of Jackie and all the stuff he went through. And it kind of goes through the before process of what he was playing with in the leagues before. But I loved that movie.
Yeah.
If you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my number four, which...
Oh, you know, look at that!
Which makes it easy. I go from 61 to 42.
Oh, it's all just numbers.
And that's one of the things I love about baseball movies, is because it's about, like, actual people overcoming so much adversity. And there's few, if any, baseball players who had to overcome so much to play baseball than Jackie Robinson did.
Yep. Yep. Very true. Very, very true. So that's your number four.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that.
I agree. It's a fantastic movie. Chadwick Boseman does a great job playing Jackie Robinson as well.
Yeah. So. I haven't seen it in a little bit. It's been a bit, but I know Harrison Ford did a great job with being Branch Rickey. And I think, obviously, If you haven't seen it, it's good just for the history part of it too.
Yes.
But it's just still a very, very good movie. Okay, I guess I'll continue again, since we both got, so we have 61 for you and 42 for you.
Yes.
And I had 42. Next one. This one has kind of some pop culture meaning with the meme, the song at the very end when a player hits a home run. This is the based off the 2001, I believe, Athletics. Is it 2001?
2002.
Moneyball. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen this movie, it's not only just a good baseball movie, it's a good movie in general with it. Like, you'd enjoy it not for just being a baseball movie. Brad Pitt didn't know anything about baseball before he signed on for this. And he did a great job being Billy Bean as the GM. Now, this follows the kind of the start of analytics and sabermetrics and all that data-based baseball moves that started kind of what we see today, where it's a lot of analytical, a lot of just matchup based. And Billy Bean was basically the forerunner with this and signing certain players that fit this quota that we wanted for the team. And it worked out in terms of for the A's for a little bit, making the playoffs that year. I mean, that was, they made the playoffs that year. But it was pretty good. I also like the quote where Ron Washington, Billy Bean, and Scott Hatterberg, who's played by Chris Pratt, and they're trying to tell Scott that, you know, oh yeah, we want you to play first base. And Scott's like, I've never played first base. And he's like, oh, it's not that hard. Tell him, Ron, it's incredibly hard. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's so good. Moneyball. I haven't seen it in a long time, but when I saw it, I'm like, dang, this is a really good movie. Yeah.
And it would probably surprise some people that I have not seen the movie at all. I have not seen Moneyball.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it's because I haven't really gone around to it. But I will say, just for transparency's sake, I'm not a fan of the Moneyball system. That might be a part of the reason why I haven't watched it. Even though people tell me,
you're boycotting it. You're like, I will not watch this movie.
No. I mean, like, it's not like I won't watch it because I hear it's a great film. It's just like, I mean, if I'll get around to watching it at some point, I'll watch it. But it's not like I'm going running to the store or jumping on Netflix to go see it.
Do it right after. You can do it right after the podcast.
And not watch the Yankees get swept by the Blue Jays?
Yeah. Actually watch something that's beneficial.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Number three for you.
Yeah, number three. And this is a classic, which I feel like a good many people, baseball or non-baseball fans, have seen alike. The Sandlot.
Yay. Look at that.
We've gone to it. For those of you who have not seen it, there's probably people who haven't.
Shame on you.
It's a coming of age story. Mm-hmm. It's about a kid who, you know, moves to a new neighborhood and tries to make friends, and he, you know, stumbles upon a group of kids playing baseball. And it goes over this big summer where they do all these different things, play baseball, but develop like a real friendship. And then, for one, it's really funny. You know, there's eminently quotable lines throughout the entire
film. We watched it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But I think what endears it to me is that it's our experiences growing up, you know, whether you're moving to a new neighborhood or you're just, you know, trying to make friends growing up, or it's really about a story about all of us growing up ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And the centerpiece of that is baseball. Baseball is really the catalyst that moves the story along. And I think it's an eminently enjoyable film.
Mm-hmm.
And rewatchable.
Yeah. I agree. Funny enough, that is also my number three.
Yeah.
I guess, like you said, it's funny. It's quotable. I mean, there's been, what's one of those movies where they try to follow the characters after they've, you know, where's Benny the Jet in today? Where's Smalls today? Squints. Who's the catcher? What's his name?
Oh,
I can't remember. This is, wow, we're really struggling right here.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, Sandlot, fantastic movie. It's kind of like one of those things where you watch as a kid, you're like, oh, this is, you relate to it a lot because you're like, oh, these kids, they just want to go to the backyard and play baseball. Like, they have that passion, and it's young, kind of like that youth kind of passion with it, where it's just like they don't want to do anything else. There's nothing that they want to do except that. And it's a really fun movie.
It's a big nostalgia thing. It really takes you back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it Sally Peppercorn? It's Peppercorn. I don't remember first name. Yeah. Kisses her.
Kisses,
gosh. They probably wouldn't do that in a movie today.
Today, no.
Oh, shame. All right. Yeah. All right. So that was number three. Both had Sandlot for number three. What's number two?
Number two, another comedic film in a sense. Major League. Is that your number
two? That's my number two.
Well, let's get into it. Again, for those of you who don't know, I'll just do a quick synopsis. It's about the Cleveland Indians. I know it's the Guardians now, but it's the Indians when this was made. It's about a team that's an owner is trying to lose on purpose, but they start winning when they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So it's all the hijinks that result from that. It's just a really, really funny movie.
It really
with
is.
What they do.
Yeah. A little background. So obviously it's my number two as well. You know how Wesley Snipes is always running in slow motion with it? That is actually because Wesley Snipes is slow in real life. So they had to make every scene that he's running in slow motion so that way he actually is... They can hide how slow he actually is. I mean, you got Jobu with the voodoo and all that. One of my favorite lines is I think they were messaging in the locker room or something like that, and they say, "Are you saying that Jesus Christ couldn't hit a curveball?" It's just so good.
And the cherry on top is Bob Uecker, the entire movie too.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
Legend. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Oh indeed. My gosh. I really want to watch that now. It's quotable. You know, it follows also some guys that are kind of, you know, you got Vaughn and you got the, I can't remember his catcher's, what's the catcher's name? Anyway, but he's getting older. He's trying to figure out if he wants to retire. So it's a really good movie, and it's an inspiring movie too.
Yeah,
seeing like the fan base kind of pull together and with it, it's just so great seeing a city connect with a team and just have that momentum.
Yeah,
it's like
and it's
else.
Feel good because you know the bad guys lose at the end. You know, because the owners are trying to sabotage it, and then they end up. Well, I won't go too far.
But yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's been out since '86, I believe. Or
I think it's '87.
It's
from the '80s.
Yeah, late '80s.
Yeah,
but fantastic. Second one was okay. You know, they changed it a little bit, and then the third one I didn't see. I think it was like Back to the Miners.
I haven't seen the third one,
but first one fantastic. All right, since both of us were Major League for number two, I doubt we have the same number one.
I doubt we do as well. But since I've gone first the last couple times, you can reveal your number one.
Okay. My number one, some of you probably haven't seen this one because it's a little bit smaller of a movie. It was a major motion picture, but it's not necessarily considered one of the top like baseball movies, basically because it's not like the... It was just a smaller story with it. But I like this movie a lot because it was one of the first baseball movies I watched with my dad growing up. I think I was 8 years old when this came out. Yeah, I was 8 years old. And it was one of the first baseball movies that I watched with my dad. It's called The Rookie with Dennis Quaid. It's based off the story of Jack Morris, who was a teacher. I think he was a math teacher at a school. And he... basically helps his baseball team get back together and compete really well in for the high school. But they if they win the championship, I believe he has to go and try out for a baseball team because he can throw. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Oh.
I've heard of it.
Oh,
I haven't seen
it. I love it. You know, it's not like it's got an 84 on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, look at that. But. It's one of the cool backstories. I'm getting away from the plot for a second, but one of the cool backstories of this movie is that Dennis Quaid, so Jack Morris was left-handed. Dennis Quaid was not left-handed. He spent a couple months, I think it was 4 or 5 months, learning to throw left-handed. And he did a pretty good job. He looks like a pretty good left-handed pitcher. And I think he throws like 96 or something like that. But he has to go and try out for a baseball team, one of the pro tryouts. And one of the best scenes in the movie, I won't ruin the ending for it, but he goes to this tryout, and a scout comes up to him after, and he's on the mound, and he throws one pitch. And you know when the thump of a ball hits the catcher's glove?
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, what the heck was that? everyone stops and looks at him. They're like, what the heck was that? But the scout comes up to him at the end. He's like, hey, how fast do you think you were throwing? He's like, I don't know, 85, 86, something like that. He's like, yeah, that you were throwing 96 miles an hour. And he's like, what? And the scout, the scout's like, Jack, if I tell him that I got a 38 or 40 year old, he's old at this point, he's like in the late 30s, that I got a 38-year-old trying out for me, and he's like, I think I want to pitch him. No, I'm gonna get but if I don't tell him that I got a 96 mile an hour fastball coming, I'm gonna get fired with it. And I just, it's the way he quotes it is fantastic. It's a very good movie, very very good movie. I highly recommend it. Yeah, and it's rated G. It's not like it's
a Disney movie.
It's a Disney movie, but it's a fantastic story. You know, it's good acting. I highly recommend it. It has a special place in my heart. That's why it's my favorite. But it's some of the quotes in it are fantastic. I think you should watch it over Moneyball. I would say it over Moneyball for sure.
Interesting take.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't go with a legendary baseball movie like Basketball or something for your number one. But anyway.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
My number one is connected to my dad, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm bookending it with a historical movie with number five and with number one. And it's a Yankees movie, and this is number one, too. And it's mainly because it has his and my favorite baseball player of all time. The movie is Pride the Yankees.
That was going to be my guess that you're going to be number one. Because that was my guess.
I've told you this before.
Yes.
But it's still my favorite. It's about Lou Gehrig, you know, the Yankees player who, you know, had that long streak of 2,130 consecutive games. And he played with, like, broken bones and, like, big bruises. And
Iron horse.
And all these injuries, which would have knocked anyone out for, you know, 15 or 30 days.
Yeah.
But he played straight through it before, you know, sadly succumbing to ALS. Stars Gary Cooper, who's a legendary Hollywood actor. And it's just a really great biopic about a man who I still think is, even though he's like accredited with being one of the best baseball players out there, I don't think people really have a good grasp of how great he was as a baseball player and as a guy and as a human being.
Yeah.
He was a fantastic person as well.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of the, I mean, Gehrig obviously was part of the Yankee teams that were absolutely fantastic, but he's always overshadowed by Ruth and, you know, just second fiddle with it. But he's top 20 all time, probably, right?
Top 20.
Yeah. I would say top 20.
At the least.
Yeah. At the very, I mean, there's some good players.
Oh, yeah.
Let me look at his stats real quick.
I mean, until recently, he held the Grand Slam record, too.
Yeah.
He had 23 Grand Slams. He had the streak record. He still holds some records, like I think most consecutive seasons with 120 RBIs. He still holds 8 straight seasons.
Oh, my goodness.
He had a 632 slugging percentage as a first baseman, which is still the record. A highest on-base percentage by a first baseman of .447, and the most extra base hits by a first baseman with 1,190.
Dang. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Good player.
And it's a big nostalgia movie for me because, again, it was a movie I watched with my dad, and, you know, my sister and I would watch it with him, too, and he loved Gehrig as a baseball player, so it's something that's really endearing to me.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much percentage did he get?
In the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I think he was one of the few people that got in right after he died. Like, they moved it up for him.
Okay. Oh, it was a special election. Yeah. There wasn't a ballot or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was kind of like Clemente after he passed away. Oh, he got in right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dang. Okay. All right. Yeah, no. I've seen it. Has been a long time. But it was a very, very, very good movie.
Yeah.
Very, very good movie. But yeah, I could have guessed that. Yeah, let us know your list. DM us on Instagram, Twitter, text us. We want to hear from you about what your favorite baseball movies are.
Yeah, if you love The Sandlot or if you wish we put Rookie of the Year in instead of like some of these other movies, let us know.
Yeah, Little Big League or
Bad News Bears.
Bad News Bears, Benchwarmers.
Angels in the Outfield.
Field of Dreams.
There's so many movies.
Field of Dreams probably was one people were like, well, you don't have that. Then my dad's favorite's The Natural.
That would be the number 6, I think, would be The Natural.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you have Trouble with the Curve. That's a recent one. Mr. 3000. That one's recent.
Oh, geez, with Bernie Mac.
With Bernie Mac. Bill Durham. Fever Pitch.
Eight Men Out.
You have a lot of these.
Trouble with the Curve.
I said that.
I zoned out.
Come on. Yeah. So let us know what your favorite movies, baseball movies. Don't send me your favorite movies. Just give me baseball movies.
And also, if you're into documentaries, Ken Burns' Baseball, which is like an 8 or 9 part series, pretty good.
Yeah.
If that's your thing.
I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen it all the way through, but I should, especially as a baseball fan. But moving on to finish out the baseball movie podcast. We'll think of a title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kev is going to close us out with a hot take. You got a little bit of... You got to make up for my terrible hot take last week.
Well, I was at first thinking of a baseball-related one, saying like some movie was overrated or this movie doesn't get enough attention,
yeah,
sort of thing. But I wanted to pivot to something else because we were just talking about the American League and how bad it is.
Yes.
But the one team that's doing pretty darn good is the Tigers.
Yeesh.
And a part of the reason why they've had this resurgence is because another player is having a resurgence of his own.
Ooh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Mr. Who, you know, meme guy who swings at balls way outside the strike zone.
Yes.
The last couple of years, who's really struggled, which is a shame because when he was with the Cubs, he was, you know, an all-star or gold glover. He was second in MVP in 2018.
Yeah.
Javi Baez.
Yeesh.
Last year, he played in only 80 games and had a 184 batting average with a 516 OPS. And to reiterate, if you have anything like 600 below, that's garbage. That's really bad.
One of the main reasons why the Javi Baez story here is very important and a big topic is because he signed a big deal where he's getting paid around $25 million a year
yes.
with the Tigers.
Yes. Indeed. And he got that big deal and he's shown little for that. Except for this year. He's really bounced back this year. Instead of hitting 184, he's now hitting 284.
Yes.
He's already, you know, reached his RBI, the amount of RBIs he did last year. Is 36 RBIs, 9 home runs. I mean, not like spectacular numbers, but considering what he's been doing the last couple of years, he's really been driving this team. And he made the All-Star game.
Yeah, he's the All-Star starter.
He's the All-Star starter.
Which he probably shouldn't be.
He probably shouldn't be.
But it's nice to see. Yeah. I'll admit that. I'll allow that.
And I think it's for those reasons that he is going to be the comeback player of the year for 2025.
Yeah, who else would it be? I don't know who else would be the comeback player for the AL. Who would it be?
I don't know.
Who's coming back from injury that I don't know anyone else that's coming back from injury from the AL that would possibly. Yeah, I think Javi Baez right now is. Let's look it up. Comeback player of the year. Comeback. American League. Comeback. Here we are. MLB comeback player of the year odds and predictions. Here we go. Oh, DeGrom.
Yeah.
He'll probably win it.
Not if Baez does.
Okay, so here we go. In odds. Obviously, get rid of sports betting. Freaking Jose Ortiz from Cleveland Guardians today got put on leave because he's betting on games. Potentially. They're investigating.
Yeah.
Get rid of betting. Just get rid of it. It's ruining sports.
That should have been my hot take.
Yeah. Anyway. Jacob DeGrom. Favorite to 290 odds to whatever it is.
He could get hurt again.
Yeah.
He's glass.
Buxton is second.
He's hurt. He's injury prone too.
Yeah.
He could get hurt again also.
Then Javi Baez, he's five. He and Buxton are tied actually.
Oh.
And then you have Torkelson, Drew Rasmussen, and then Felix Bautista. Yeah, Trout's on the list at 12,000, but that's not going to happen.
No.
Unless he just goes resurgence and has like hits like 270 and has 35 homers and gets like 80 RBIs, then yeah, he probably would be comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
But DeGrom's probably got it, unless he has some. He's been pretty good. He's probably going to be an all-star. He's been really, really good. The Rangers have not been good, but
no.
Yeah, this is Jacob. This is peak. Prime Jacob DeGrom, 9-2 with a 2.13 ERA, 0.88 WHIP. That is Jacob deGrom.
That is.
That's fantastic.
I'm surprised he's got a winning record.
Yeah.
It seems like when he's at his best, he's like, he's almost like Cliff Lee. He's like,
yeah,
you know, 7-6 with a 1.8 ERA, something yeah. crazy like that.
And his strikeouts per nine isn't crazy. It's actually one of the lowest he's ever had in his career. He's got an 8.9 strikeout per nine, whereas he led the league a couple years ago at 13.8 and then 14.3. So he's not striking out guys as much as he used to, but he's still efficient at 2.13 ERA. Hmm. So he's not getting traded, but yeah. It would be an interesting situation if he were to possibly get traded. Yeah. But he's got that contract.
He's technically got a better ERA than Skubal does, barely.
Yeah, Skubal had a couple rough outings, I should say, not rough outings. I think he gave up a couple home runs because his whip is still better than I think everyone's with it.
Yeah, he's got a whip of 0.83.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that's lukewarm because he's one of the favorites with it, but he's probably not going to win it with DeGrom being the way it is. But he does probably have more fan popularity with the Javi Baez story than DeGrom. Yeah. But. And we'll see what happens. See what happens. You got anything else?
No, I don't.
All right. Let's end it there. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know if you have... let us know your favorite baseball movies.
Yeah.
DM us on Instagram, Twitter, text us. You know where to find us.
Yeah.
We do have an email, but I don't know what it is. Because we had to set up the podcast material with it. But
it's not even the name of the podcast, technically. I mean, it is, but it's not totally. I won't disclose it.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. And we will hopefully see you in less time than a month. But yes. Thank you for listening. I'll see you.
Later.